like he'd be older than that. All right. Hey, it's...
I thought you were going to take this out.
I did not put this in.
I think the engineers said to screw with you.
Engineers, I'm looking in your direction.
There, very amusing. Okay. See, this is now it's like the soundtrack to some weird Asian porn. All right. It's like a bad Sailor Moon thing. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. Here's what's coming up. This hour, we'll talk to Dennis Pitzenbarger from the Portland Tribune. We will do the top five Rolling Stones guitar intros of all time, and we'll read some crap from the Inquirer. That's it. That's the stuff. What else do I have here? Let's see. Something about the... Oh, Rick. Let's see. I gotta read this one more. I don't even kind of overdosing. This is from...
Hold me.
Thank you.
Like you did by the lake on
it's
the moon.
Not about you.
Of that sounder.
No, it's the best sounder ever. What would you replace it with? Come on.
I don't know.
Come on.
With that, yeah.
See, that's the thing about that. Come on, is I don't know what to...
A cack.
Come on! I don't even know what to... I don't even know what I... Here's the thing, is I got all three of these Job things. We'll play them in order.
Come on! Come on! Come on!
But I don't have any thing to do with them. Like, we have... Everything else has a reason. Except for that. We have the Florida sound. We have the geek. We have the... We have that. What else? We have... That's for our cheesy FM morning style jokes. We have...
Yes!
That's for first time call. We don't use that right now because we use sans screener most
of the
time.
And I have all the crowd sounds that...
Oh. Aww. Thank you. Yeah, and then we have... Let's...
Come on!
And we have... That's fantastic. I love that one. And of course... And that. Thank you. No, seriously, you're too kind. But come on, I have no idea what we would use it for. I don't think there's no recurring element in the show.
Come on.
For which I can use it. So, well, what are you going to do? Anyway, so Aaron says, Rick, I've been giving this implosion at the Trojan plant some serious thought. Let's look at the ingredients. 1, military. 2, drunken masses. 3, television media. 4, explosions. 5, a so-called closed nuclear plant. Now, Rick, I know that many of your fine and well-informed listeners are fans of the horror film genre. I shouldn't have to warn them. However, to those who may wish to camp at or near the safe zone, take heart. Now, how many, if not most, zombie films start with all of the above items? And so I would recommend that anyone who wishes to get drunk and or informed during said explosion should also bring a shotgun, chainsaw, and or cricket bat. Just trying to help. Carry on. Aaron, Geek in the City. There you go. Let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat, Tim Riley reporting. The head of the National Guard is brushing off concerns about stretching the Guard too thin by deploying troops on the U.S.-Mexico border. He's Lieutenant General Stephen Bloom, who told the news briefing that the National Guard is superbly suited for this mission.
The President and the Department of Homeland Security have asked for military support to a federal law enforcement effort along our border. We're trained, we're ready to do this, and we're able to do this.
I don't understand what it is that they're doing. They're not the military attaché. They're not allowed to use guns or to...
You gotta stand there and stare at people.
I guess they're just gonna point a lot and engage in mockery and scorn of the immigrant guy and jerk. I guess that's it, man. I got nothing.
El Paso County Sheriff Leo Semingo says the National Guard has no place on the border.
They're just gonna sit close to the river and point out to the Border Patrol, you know, there's 100 over here and 10 here, and they can't do anything about it.
All right.
Susie Brown, who lives in Texas, says there's been an increase in illegals crossing near her house and she's been forced to protect herself.
I carry a little pistol with me because I have had to confront them before. And although most people try to say that, oh, they're not dangerous, they're just here. You look in some of their eyes and some of them are not here just to find a better life.
That's fantastic. What is she talking about? Is she talking about zombies?
She's talking about the illegal aliens crossing in her yard.
What's her name? Susie Brown?
Susie Brown.
Mm-hmm. You look in
S-U-Z-I-E.
You look in some of their eyes.
Mm-hmm. Not all of them, just some of them.
Let's be I think she said that, let's hear it one more time and then we'll, now who is this on line two?
Line two is he says he is the cab driver for that robbery yesterday.
Really? Okay, well, we'll take that in just a second, but okay. I gotta play with Susie Brown one more time. This is homemaker Susie Brown.
I carry a little pistol with me because I have had to confront them before. And although most people try to say that, oh, they're not dangerous, they're just here. You look in some of their eyes and some of them are not here just to find a better life.
What? What is she talking about?
I don't know. I have no idea what she's referring to. What is the context for the clip?
Susie Brown of Texas says there's been an increase of illegals crossing near her house, and she's been forced to protect herself.
Yes, because you look at their eyes.
Some of their eyes.
Yeah, just some of their eyes. They don't look
only
like
the
us.
One-eyed ones.
No, Susie, they're... Well, they can't be trusted. Yeah, okay, whatever. She probably votes. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is John.
Hey, John, so you are a cab driver.
Yes, I am.
Now you, this is, Tim, what is the story we had yesterday about the runaway cab driver? Do we still have that?
Well, this taxi it used was a Broadway cab.
All right. And
let's see, there was a woman and a man waiting in a taxi. And one man waited in the lobby, so I guess there were three people in the
lobby. So some people, what bank did they rob?
They robbed the U.S. Bank on Beaver Hills Highway in Raleigh Hills there.
We have a story about some people going and they were robbing. I don't understand exactly how this happened, but they robbed a bank, and instead of a traditional getaway car, they had a cab outside, and so you were driving the cab?
Yeah, well, they actually put in a time call for a 9 o'clock pickup for a cab, if you can believe that.
You're kidding me. They planned it in advance. Like, look, you'll need to pick us up around 9. If you hear gunshots, just hang outside.
No, it was actually the second bank. The first bank they wanted to rob wasn't open. So they got to wait.
Are you screwing with me? Really?
No,
this is real?
No, not at all. I took them to the first bank, and it wasn't open yet. So they wanted to go to a U.S. bank, and I just took them to one that was on Portland, which is where they were supposed to go next. And
let's start at the beginning here.
Ask the question. I mean, did you know that was...
Did you know they were going to be robbing a bank?
No, not at all. They just said they wanted to go to a bank to cash a check.
Okay, so you're there, you're in the cab driving along, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, doing your thing.
They actually called for a cab. They called for a cab to pick them up, just like a regular...
All right, and so you got the call to pick them up at a bank?
No, at a resident, actually an apartment complex in Beaverton.
So you go by, you pick them up at the apartment,
right?
And they said, hey, well, take us to this bank.
Right, take us to the bank, and then we're going to go downtown. So,
and so you take them to the bank, and then it's closed?
The bank wasn't open yet. It was about 8:45. The bank opened, I think, at 9.
That's really good service. I mean, pick them up.
Seriously, that's maybe they were not expecting you to be so prompt.
We aim low to please. One of the guys had mentioned the fact that, this is going to cost us too much money to sit here and wait for the bank to open. So,
they're robbing a bank!
Yeah, well, I didn't know that at the time.
Well, but it just seems like he wouldn't be worried about it. Okay.
Oh, that's what I thought, too. So, the chick said, is there a U.S. bank around here? So I took him to that, and, they got up, pulled right into the front, they were open, and as they were walking in, two of them got out, as they were walking in, one of them sat right beside me. I looked in my rearview mirror, and I saw him nod at the other two, and then nodded back and walked into the bank. So I asked the guy in the back, I said, so are you guys going to rob the bank? And he kind of chuckled and said, no.
What was your tip? What was your tip of? Like, how did you know?
He just gave a distinct signal to the other two. Like, he nodded his head like, you know, right. It's on kind of thing.
Right, right.
And I looked at him like, you guys robbing the bank? And he said, no. So they came out, and less than 30 seconds later, just very calm and cool, and got back in the cab. And I saw her pull something out from her waistband and slip it back into the backpack she was carrying.
And the gun, probably?
I don't know. I don't know what it was, but hey, you know, I assumed it was something that could harm me, so I didn't really want to say anything. But as they're walking out, somebody walked from the inside of the bank, locked the doors behind us, or behind them.
And so, did they get any money from the bank? You said they walked in and walked right back out.
Well, yeah, I found out later after I was cuffed and went down to identify them at the zoo transit stop there.
Right.
But, Yeah.
But they, so they didn't get any, they walked into the bank and the bank just told them to pound it, or?
I wasn't quite sure. They weren't in there long enough to actually see if they could cash a check, and it seemed like too short of a time to rob the bank.
Right.
So they slipped them a note and just said, give us money. And they got money, and we got back in. They say, take us downtown. But on the way downtown, dispatch got on the horn and started asking me suspicious questions. So they got sketchy and wanted to get off at the zoo exit.
Now, so when they were asking you, when the dispatcher is asking you suspicious questions, and you're these guys in the back seat that you think have robbed the bank. Now, were you thinking, oh, God, the dispatcher's going to get me killed?
Well, they were being pretty obvious, I thought. You know, like, hey, where are you going? Where exactly? How many people are in your car? I mean, you know.
All right, what's the name of your next of kin?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So I took them up by the zoo, and, the dispatcher's, like, wanting my cell phone number and wanting to get a hold of me immediately. And they just said, stop the car here. And they all three looked at me, and I kind of looked at them, and then they all got out, and the chick who was sitting in the front, she gave me $2.20 and said, thanks a lot.
So she tipped well. Did you get to keep
nice,
the, did you get to keep the tip?
The cops took the money.
Oh!
I know, man. I was out. I was up there for 2 hours. I got, like, handcuffed, and I had to get on my knees.
And yet, you were in the car with armed felons.
Well, yeah, apparently. But the cops, you know, when the cops finally tracked me down, they didn't see anybody in the car but me, so they got me out, and I had to back up to them and get cuffed, and three other cops pulled up, and they had their guns aimed at the car. And
oh, dude. So when you were having to drop these bank robbers off at the zoo transit station, but did it go through your head that you're like, I'm like an eyewitness, and they might just cap me right here?
Well, what went through my head was, if they just got out and stiffed me for the fare, I'm perfectly all right with that. But I didn't know what they were going to do. I was trying to hit my panic button, but every time I made a move to screen, she was asking me what I was doing.
So. I wondered about that, if cabs have a panic button.
Yeah, but it's kind of an obvious motion to me anyway.
Yeah, it's like a big red thing that says police.
Yeah, she kept asking, what are you doing? What are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm just checking for more work, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
I'm dropping a cigarette.
It was kind of scary.
Dude, that's completely messed up. So, I can't believe they didn't let you keep the tip. Oh, that sucks.
It didn't.
Yeah, I should call up and give your manager a piece of my, give your supervisor a piece of my mind.
Could you do that for me?
I could, actually. I do believe that you should. I mean, look, if you have to transport people with guns around and the cops are taking you and putting you down and handcuffing you, least they could do is let you keep the tip.
The FBI and everybody out there is like a ton of police.
Oh, that's a bunch of crap.
Yeah.
All right.
The funny thing is, I'm actually a poor filmmaker who's finishing up a movie about the police and detectives and things like that.
Well,
so
now you have an exciting new chapter.
Yeah, exactly. I could add that one to it.
All right, sir. Well, okay. Now, we gave a shout out earlier to another cab company,
radio, was it?
Yeah, radio. Cab. There's going to be a lot of people that we know, that a lot of drivers that listen to us, but Broadway.
Now we know one with Broadway.
Now we know that we are heard.
I listen to you guys every day. I'm in this cab.
Excellent. And you're spreading the word via Broadway cab.
Absolutely. Far and wide.
Well, my friend, try to be safe. Try not to be killed or anything.
Yeah, we're glad you're okay.
Yeah.
That's why I went on day shift. I thought, it's very calm, very mellow. Nothing happens on day shift. So
that's called tempting fate when you say it. Well, who doesn't know a bank is closed at 8:45? Even I know that, and I'm an idiot.
Well,
fools. You're lucky that they were just, that's the luck, is you got really dumb criminals, my friend.
Well, exactly. I mean, look at the getaway car. It's a bright yellow cab. I mean,
seriously, it's not really a generic, nondescript automobile.
Oh,
it's like getting away in a clown car.
Yeah, exactly. Right. With a clown driving.
All right, we'll call us and let us know if anything else transpires with that.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, thanks, man.
All right,
there you go. All right, look at that. Look at the reach and power of the Rick Emerson Show.
Attention, advertisers.
You too could have been selling something to those criminals. I should have asked if the show was on during that. When was the bank robber?
That was in the morning.
Oh, okay.
It was at 9 o'clock.
Well, maybe he was listening to a kooky Robin Williams bit or something.
Oh, that could have been.
Well, okay.
That was very exciting.
It really was. Who is this? Who is this other call? Should I be taking whoever this is? I don't even know what we were doing anymore. I'm just completely.
I don't remember.
I think we're in the middle of the news.
Hey, if I can jump back about 20 minutes.
Yes.
Before I started talking about when I was a boy, this girl who got backed over by this Hummer limousine. Here's the key phrase here, by the way, about this Hummer limo is that, let's see. The police said with a vehicle that is, you've seen those Hummer limousines in Vegas, the big ugly monstrosities. Police said that with a vehicle that large, it's likely the driver doesn't feel anything caught underneath it. Okay. So one might think that this was almost a little karmic justice for renting such a big behemoth of a vehicle in the first place.
Next time, call Yellow Cab.
Drive something smaller. But trying to impress your friends. Hard to impress anybody from a striker bit. All right. Shall we break?
Yes, sir.
Let's take a break. Let's take a break here. It's 503-733-2970. We'll come back and take whoever this is. I don't know who this is. We'll take these. We'll take this other call here. Dennis Pitzenbarger going to be with the Portland Tribune. We'll do the top five Rolling Stones guitar introductions of all time. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We are back after this. Don't go anywhere. Take him 970. Solid State Radio. Ow.
Some of them are louder than others.
Music beds hurt my head.
I know.
It's one of these days we had to do a show where we just use. We should do a top five most overused music beds by talk show hosts. There's that one. What is that song that I'm always confusing with Careless Whisper? Well, whatever. It doesn't matter. 503-87. I'm just talking to myself. 503-733-2970. Welcoming now to the Rick Emerson Show. This is who? John, Rob, Tom, Bill,
Jonathan.
Jonathan, hi. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick. Good afternoon.
What's up, brother?
Hey, I enjoyed that last segment. That was great.
Oh, yeah, but the cab driver. How crazy was that?
Before I ask my the reason I called, but yes. Why in the heck did why'd they cuff him?
Because he was the only guy in the car, and they didn't know who, I guess, because they didn't know who was a robber and who wasn't. And you never know when it's Bill Murray, you know, dressed in a clown suit, I guess. Yeah, who knows? I think, look, be honest, I think the cop response is to cuff and stuff first and ask questions later.
Yeah, but what? And get no money for it.
Your tax dollars at work.
Hey, I'm calling in reference to illegal immigrants.
Yes.
Get your opinion, you and Tim and Sarah X. I think.
Hold on a second. Tim, someone wants your opinion on illegal immigrants. Okay.
Is he listening to country music?
No, he was listening to a couple. I'm sorry. Someone wants your opinion on illegal immigrants here in a moment, Tim. All right. Go, Jonathan, go ahead.
Well, I think I sinned yesterday, and I want to know if this is bad. I hired a illegal immigrant to do my yard.
All right.
And he spent 10.5 hours at my house, and he cut and trimmed like I never could. And he spoke no English except two words, I think, were dinero and cerveza. Okay. But I've never had anybody work that hard.
Now, is this true? Are you on the level here?
I'm serious.
Now, how did this come about that you employed an illegal immigrant?
Well, I'll tell you what.
Do your yard.
I live somewhere else. I live actually in Hawaii. So when I come home, I have to have the yard work done. So
you are so the man, and I don't mean that like you're the man. I mean like you're the man. Like did a capital T. You are I'm presumably a white person.
Yes, sir.
See, a white man, you live in Hawaii?
Yeah.
So you're a wealthy white man with multiple houses hiring an illegal to do your work.
Yeah, I live like a block and a half from that bank that guy picked.
Yeah, you really are Whitey. With a capital W.
I'm white. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so how did it come about that you found this man to do your yard work?
Okay, well I couldn't do the yard work myself since I don't live here that often. So
cuz you'd sweat.
Found this through a reference. To a friend of mine, said that this illegal does a great job and he's trustable. He works by himself, but he's really a hard worker. He's in his mid to late 30s.
Right.
And, you know, he's reasonable.
Is
this friend a Republican by any chance?
That's what I wanted Tim on the line.
Is he listening to KXL right now? Here's my question. So my question, though, is this. So you paid this guy for 10 hours?
I paid him $100 cash.
For 10, so that's 10 bucks an hour.
Right. Plus, I bought him lunch at Jack in the Box, and I gave him all
that
the water.
That must have been like Thanksgiving.
And the man never took a break, Rick.
Tim Riley.
You know, and I could not hire anybody in this neighborhood.
Now, are you asking me if you did the right thing or if you did the wrong thing?
Well, after George W. last night, I'm feeling guilty.
Well, after George W., they're talking about you hire an illegal, they're going to come and put you in the pokey.
I could not find any white people to do this job, the hard, you know, for $10 an hour.
Did you put an ad in the paper asking for white people specifically?
I was just going to say, I don't really know. It's so tricky because on the one hand, I don't want to be like the guy who's screwing a poor person. You know, let's be honest, illegals are not necessarily living in a high tax bracket. I don't want to be the guy who's screwing somebody who's poor out of cash. But on the other hand, I do not necessarily believe this line that people say that, well, you know, they're doing jobs that you could never find a white person to do. I don't believe... Let's, first of all, I don't believe that A, you couldn't find a white person to do it, and B, let's not even use the word white here, because, no, I'm, it's not that you, I'm just, it's because it's a phrase you hear repeated all the time, but here's, I feel like it's just too late in the day, and
I would do this job.
I feel like it's almost too late in the show to start talking about this, but I...
But I'm just asking your opinion, all you guys, is that I'm starting to feel guilty other than the work he did was like nothing I've ever seen before.
Well,
when I was a kid doing this work, I wouldn't have done that. I would have taken, you know, break
when I was
another
a kid.
Hour.
Here we go with the, Sarah, here's, thank you. And popcorn was a nickel. God.
But he's telling me he's sending this money back to his family.
Well,
Guadalajara.
Look, people say, well, you know, you hire an illegal immigrant because they do jobs that the white person isn't going to do. Let's remove the word white from there for a second and say this.
Okay.
Say that the argument is that illegal immigrants will do work that an American citizen won't do. And
okay.
I don't think that that's true. I think if you're going to hire some illegal guy to do a bunch of work for $2 an hour, yeah, you're probably not going to find an American citizen who'll do manual labor for $2.50 an hour. That's
even $10 an hour.
That's true. I know, but I mean, we all know, you know, there's the kitchen or there's the restaurant or there's the whatever where they're paying some illegal guy $4 an hour, paying him half of minimum wage or whatever to do some work. Yeah, you're not going to find an American citizen to do that for slave wages.
Rick, if I found a neighborhood kid to do this with child labor laws the way they are today, If he got hurt on my property, I'd be in court, you know, next month.
Yeah, I'm saying that the idea that you can't find... What is minimum wage now? What is federal minimum wage? We all work in radio. What are we making here? $7.50? Okay. So, I mean, you're paying... So that's what? That's 30% above minimum wage?
Sure.
So I'm not trying to impugn you as a human being, and again, I'm not trying to. It makes me sound like a jerk because it sounds like I'm trying to take cash out of the hands of somebody who's illegal, and I'm not trying to do that as such. All I'm saying is, we got like the second highest unemployment rate in the country in this state, and I don't necessarily know that if you're offering 30% above minimum wage, the idea that you can't find an American citizen to do that, I don't buy.
Well, I
don't believe that.
I put ads at Fred Meyer looking for people to mow the lawn, you know, and.
Did you put down $10 an hour?
Yes, I did.
And so you're telling me that you couldn't find...
I got one phone call, and he could only work one day of the week, and that was it. And I needed done more than one day of the week.
So you're telling me you were unable to find an American citizen who was willing to do yard work for $10 an hour?
Well, that read the ad, you know.
Well, or that, you know, that you were not able to.
Right.
All right.
But then I was recommended for this other guy who came over, and, you know, there's no demands... He worked like I've never seen any, you know, any American work before, and he did a great job.
We can let it slide just as once.
Yeah,
don't make it a regular thing.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing you hear a lot. You hear
I'm gonna hire him forever, Kim.
You hear so often that you know that somebody who is illegal will work a lot harder than an American citizen. And again, I don't want to make it a brown and white distinction. We just say you'll hear that an illegal will work harder than a citizen. And I don't know. I know a lot of fat, stupid Americans, but you know what? I think there's fat, stupid, lazy people in every culture. I don't know that American citizens have any sort of monopoly.
No, people have become Americanized. Yeah.
So is my guilt warranted?
Yeah. Well, let's hold on a second. Do we know who this is, Sarah? All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
I'm gonna say my name is Bob.
All right, Bob. What do you got?
I'm a farmer out here in some part of Oregon,
right.
And I've had white people work for me, black people, Mexicans, and white people last about a week on a farm. they just don't want to do the hard work, and it's not that they're lazy necessarily. It's that they aren't. They think they're better than the jobs that you tell them to do.
Right.
Well, I don't know. It's not like I got to have a lot of experience like in the agricultural industry or whatever.
Yeah,
but
if you want to find immigrant workers, you can go down on MLK and Burnside.
On Burnside
right
and
there,
6. Yeah.
They hang out and you can pick them up if you want.
And again, and I'm, and it's just, again, it's kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't thing, because I do recognize that there, you know, if you come to this country and you're an illegal citizen, you're living, you know, on one of the lower rungs in our financial structure. On the other hand, I just don't know that it's true when people say, and again, of whatever race, when people say that you can't find an American to do this gig for $10 an hour, I just don't know if it's true or not. I suspect that it's not.
Well, you know,
because, and I'll tell you what, because I know people who work for minimum wage, which is less than what this guy was paying, at terrible jobs. I mean, we've all got friends who work terrible jobs for minimum wage. And so the idea that you couldn't find a citizen to do something for minimum wage plus 30%, I just don't know that washes with me. That's all
well,
I'm saying.
But it's the... I think it's the sun and the heat and the being outside and that kind of thing. I mean, working in Taco Bell in the air conditioning and stuff for minimum wage is different than working out in the hot all day picking strawberries or something like that.
Maybe. All right. Well, what were you calling yourself, sir? You were calling yourself Ted? All right. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, bye.
All right. And then you were, which was John, was that your name, Jonathan?
Yes, sir.
Jonathan, I'm going to have Sarah take your phone number here.
Well, the only reason I'm doing this is that I'm feeling some guilt.
Well.
But I had to get your opinion because I'm going to use this guilt like every other.
We'll have someone come over and speak with you.
Seriously, we'll have a union representative come speak with you. Hold on a second. Don't go anywhere. Sarah, if you could just get Jonathan's number, that would be fantastic. All right, there you go. We got to have like a white guilt be gone. We'll just come over and hose away your white liberal guilt. All right, I got enough of that for everybody. It's 503-733-2970. Let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley. Oh, or not. Are we not?
You didn't know you were going to be tested? I didn't know I was coming back.
Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, Dennis Pitzenbacher from the Portland Tribune. How are you, Dennis? I'm sorry, you were just standing here, and I sort of assumed that you were going to be doing news.
Did some, you know, horrible, you know, Ferris Bueller. I could have ran for his stuff.
No, that's okay. Well, we'll do the top five here in just a few.
Okay.
We'll summon you for the top five. I don't want to interrupt your prepping. All right, there you go. I'll find an immigrant to do the top five. All right.
Someone that could do it cheaper, obviously.
That's one of those conversations that would be great at 1 o'clock, but it's like 2:30 and I get all the stuff to get done. It's like there's just no... Just wading hip-deep into, like, the most divisive issue in the history of the world. Nah, I got nothing.
That's okay. I was only here at 1:50.
That's okay. Not my fault. I told you 2:15.
I know, but
I didn't even really get that done.
I got to a really good parking spot, and I just took it.
So, all right. Okay. Hey, what's up in your world?
Well, just, you know, I have truly found that air travel across the United States can be one bad gag reel from planes.
Where were you traveling?
I went to Road America over in Wisconsin to drive BMW M6s, which was great. I mean, at 500 horsepower, supercar, you know, I mean... I actually somehow got, you know, it was paid for that.
Let me ask you this. How do they determine horsepower? That seems like an arbitrary unit of measurement.
I would have a better chance of explaining why the gentleman that called felt guilty about his...
I got another. When they say horsepower, it's like when they describe a flashlight as being 5,000 candle power. They're just making that up. No one knows.
British thermal units?
Yeah, it's like here on the board. VU, it's volume units. The systems of measurement that no one understands.
Neither do I.
So really. You drove something fast.
I drove something very fast in a very famous racetrack. It was a kick in the pants. But in between here and there, I ended up being a part of probably every bad travel experience you can. I mean, the plane got hit by lightning.
Were you on the same plane as Ted Kennedy? Because Kennedy's plane got hit by lightning.
No. There was no flame in the cockpit. Just you're sitting there. You're watching your $8 movie because you slid your card through the delay in the front seat. And... boom! All of a sudden, everything in the plane goes dark for about 2 seconds.
That's got to be pleasant.
And
that wind shear, and you're dropping 80,000 feet.
Yeah, don't worry, folks. We'll have a little turbulence. Seatbelt is on it. You know, you start to panic a little bit. So that happened, and you know, so I got bounced everywhere. Someone lost my luggage. I lost my own wallet. At one point, I'm standing in Milwaukee Airport with nothing more than a half-dead cell phone and shorts and a tank top.
Do you do this when you're on a plane? And the seatbelt sign lights up, and all of the stewardesses, or whatever they're called, they all walk to the bag, and you're like, they know something I don't know.
Well,
they've been told that we're all going to die.
I've always wondered why they do that, but I figure that's why I was asked for a seat in the back, because usually those people survive.
Those people survive. If you're in the tail section, you're the most likely to live. That is true.
I usually just go with that. And right. I mean, it was just a crazy experience. The cars themselves were outlandish. I mean, it was an experience that I can only do it so much with now being, you know, a married with children guy. I don't get the freelance go everywhere any weekend of the time. So it's been fun, you know. I mean, it was a fun thing. It's not quite a Focus with an engine service light on, but
I'm just saying.
I mean, no last time be, I was here,
no need to be cranky.
I know. It was fun. It was just at the point where I was just. It was comical at one point because everything that could go wrong had gone wrong to the point where. Now I'm talking to the guy. I'm in the last leg. I'm in Denver. It's midnight. I'm finally going to get on the flight home. The guy next to me says he's been through just as much hell as I have. I look at him. I go, well, you know, knock on wood, at least it's over. And then you hear the plane bump.
And you're like, oh, God.
And all of a sudden, here comes the pilot again. Folks, we've had a problem. The guy on the ground driving the luggage train drove into the plane. Now...
Everybody's drunk.
The first thing I asked was if they drank after midnight at Denver, I guess. And so,
Well, we should. Sarah, should we do the top five here? All right.
We could.
You just got that look on your face. You look all fatalistic. You just got that look on your face like it's all going downhill.
the whole illegal immigrant talk just kind of. It brought it down.
No, it just and it, well, I,
we and just, I know and I understand.
And I got blindsided by it.
I know, and I understand that it's relevant, but it just kind of.
It was a whole lot of wacky, wacky, wacky. Serious.
Seriously.
And well, you talked about breastfeeding at the beginning of the show. Should we talk about that?
Please, don't repeat that phrase. Don't repeat that horrible phrase.
No.
What did I say?
Faucets and...
What did you say? The faucet is working, but...
I said the kegs were full, but the faucets aren't working anymore.
I don't even know what that means, and I'm not asking you to explain it.
I'll wait till the break. I'll tell you off the air.
The frisbees are floating, but that something is something. It's like Pentagon. It's like the fat man has landed. The eagle walks alone. Tim Riley. Welcome Tim Riley to the Rick Emerson Show in 5, 4, 3, and for the top 5, 2, 1. Hey, there he is, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay.
All right, there you go. Let's go ahead and roll it. Here's your top 5 for Tuesday.
3, 2, 1, fire! Hey-oh. Counting is wonderful, counting is marvelous, counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy, I love to count.
Don't you? Here's Tim Riley with today's top 5.
And as Keith Richards continues to prove he is impervious to any and all forms of bodily injury, we reflect on his awesome, terrifying, godlike power to wield the axe and to create some of the most lasting music in modern history. So let's take a listen to these, the top 5 Rolling Stones guitar intros of all time, with honorable mention going to Satisfaction.
All right. These are the top 5 Rolling Stones guitar intros of all time, and I'm so sick to death of hearing this song. If I never hear this song again, it'll be fine with me. But it is worth noting that it is a fantastically innovative song. Because, and by the way, I should note that this is a listener-submitted top 5. Listener Kurt submitted this. I suppose there was a time when this song sounded fresh and innovative. Those times have passed away, but...
They'll use it to sell 401k plans.
The interesting thing about this... Totally. Kaiser wants you to know. The interesting thing about this is that, you know, that doesn't even sound like a guitar. It sounds like a horn section almost. It almost does sound like something, like a trumpet or like a saxophone or something. As the story famously goes, Keith Richards wrote this song in his sleep. He woke up. He had a tape recorder next to his bed. And he woke up and the tape was at the end and he didn't remember recording anything. He played it back and he had recorded this riff in his sleep, and then the rest of the tape was just him snoring. And everybody, you know, people criticize the song for being simplistic or being whatever, and as he said, if it's so goddamn simple, you write Satisfaction. So, wrote it in his sleep, quite literally. That's a famous story. There you go.
Number 5.
Monkey Man.
This is a great song. Monkey Man, by the way, if you were an Entourage fan, this is what plays at the season finale of season 2 when Ari Gold has been fired and he's running to try to get his car.
I can't believe you just told me that. I haven't seen the end of season 2.
Oh.
Damn it.
It was actually the
How
robot.
How am I supposed to know? The robot did it.
The robot did it.
Anyway, but there's this whole sequence where Ari is racing to get his car out of the garage, and he's racing with Lloyd to get his cell phone back. It's the most dramatic buildup.
I'm a flippin'
Why you hit that?
All my friends are jokers.
Hit the post on a song I've never ramped up before. Yeah! Oh, before, but where is your God now? Such a great song. Kind of an underused song in the Stones catalog radio-wise. All right. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Top 5 Rolling Stones guitar intros. Here's Tim Riley.
Number 4, Tumbling Dice.
This is a great song. You could make the argument that this is the greatest Stones song of all time, as Kurt notes. It's true. This is from Exile on Main Street. And, you know, listen to that groove, man. Listen to that. And, you know, Mick Jagger was among the first to realize, the power of having the Sweet Soul Sisters behind you when you sang. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter how thin your white voice is. You put a whole bunch of black women behind you singing like that, man, it's just... You're gonna. Even if you didn't have soul before, you will acquire soul through osmosis.
I can feel the soul.
You can really feel the soul there, can't you?
I can.
What a great song! This is a fantastic song. A bunch of lyrics. The lyrics are just gibberish, too. They don't even make any sense. Doesn't matter. Groove like that, you don't need sense. Counting on the top 5 Rolling Stones guitar intros of all time. Tim Riley?
Number 3, Brown Sugar.
Brown Sugar.
It's fantastic. Lyrics that are just completely incomprehensible to anybody. You know, and the thing about the Stones is, unlike so much music from this era, it's still just nasty and snarly and just badass. They still just sound like badass bastards. It still just sounds ragged and raw and grubby and great. Top 5 Rolling Stones guitar intros of all time is compiled by listener Kurt.
Number 2, Jumpin' Jack Flash.
Here's the interesting thing. Those are acoustic guitars, by the way. They're acoustic guitars, but the deal is they set the gain as high as they possibly could to make them sound all ragged and distorted like that.
Watch it!
Jagger was the king of lyrics that didn't mean anything, but that sounded fantastic, like I was born in a crossfire hurricane. Don't even know what it means. It's like in Tumbling Dice when he says that it's all sixes and sevens and nines. No idea. Of course, the problem of growing up in the 80s is now every time I hear this song, I just picture Whoopi Goldberg going, I'm a little black woman in a big silver box. This is the saddest thing. Counting down the top 5 Rolling Stones guitar intros of all time. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley.
And now at long last, we get to number one with Give Me Shelter.
Listen to that. That's like literally after you've died and you're being escorted down the hallway to hell. Or you're, you know, like some, it really is like, this is the music as you're entering the house where the evil voodoo rite is being performed. It's the most haunting song ever. Hands down for me, I'm saying this is the greatest of all Stone songs. The great thing about this song is that there isn't even really any chorus as such. It doesn't even really have a hook. It's just this one endless progression over and over and over, just like these endless thousand dark stair steps to hell. It's like they're playing in some swamp or something. This kind of makes me wish that I was strung out on heroin, because it'd probably sound even better. Not that, I mean, say no, kids, don't do drugs. But, you know what I'm talking about. All right. There you go, as compiled by listener Kurt, top five Rolling Stones guitar intros of all time. Back after this, don't go anywhere, it's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Okay. Rick, says Brian, a bit of guitar trivia. Many guitar stuff manufacturers have built-in sounds in their gear that actually try to copy that hideous guitar sound from Satisfaction. I hope I will never have to play that song ever. I would fall asleep on stage. Rock on, signed Guitar Geek, Brian. Yeah, Satisfaction's one of those songs. I love the Stones. I really do. I love the Stones. But that song actually makes me physically ill at this point. I just can no longer. Never again. Never. All right. Here with Dennis Pitzenbarger. And you know what? Here's the thing, what you look like, Sarah. That shirt. You know why it's distracting to me? Hmm. You're wearing this wife beater that has a splatter pattern, and it's because you look like you looked at the listener party where you were Nancy Spungen.
Oh.
That's why it's weirding me out. I couldn't put my finger on it. And it's, remember, because that was your thing. You had the wife beater with the blood splatter all over it.
Yeah.
And that's what it looks like to me. And I keep looking over and I keep being freaked out because it looks like you're covered in blood.
Okay.
So, which is sort of, it's sort of a bizarre kind of a thing going on. All right. How long do we have? A minute?
About a minute. Minute and a half.
All right.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Well, look, another bastard,
It's
the cab driver. How am I going to say no to that story?
It's a fabulous story. I mean,
talk about stuff.
I wish I could be so lucky as to be, you know...
To be robbed.
To be robbed at gunpoint by bank robbers that are just inherently stupid.
Yes. So what's coming up in the Portland Tribune?
Portland Tribune next week will be the Honda Odyssey minivan. A fabulous...
minivan. Does that come with the baby?
Hey,
you're going to start reviewing minivans. Does it come with a breast pump?
One in each seat. The strangest
thing. Both of those things.
I have both of them. The funniest thing ever, man, is I tell you what, all the cars I've driven, all the laps of luxury that I've put my wife in, she drove that minivan. She called me up in the middle of the day, and I kid you not, and says, Dennis, if you win the lottery, buy me this minivan.
That's a keeper right there.
That was the, and then I asked what she had done with my wife and where she was.
Yes.
You aren't telling a minivan story, are you?
Seriously.
You know what?
You just told a minivan story.
Yep.
It's all over. The next step is support socks, screaming at the kids in the yard.
I was just going to say, start talking about, like, barbecue grills and how, you know, it's really a sensible choice to get aluminum siding.
Actually, putting in the dog, running the fence, Well, give me a few years.
Here's the thing. I'm going to come to your house. One of these days when I expect it, I'm going to kill you. And you're going to thank me for it with your last breath.
Right, now he's actually going to die, Rick, and then you're going
to
be blamed.
No.
That's okay. You'll have to just provide for my family.
It's true. Okay. Okay.
Wow.
This whole show has just gone all wacky now.
Can I get my one plug in?
Yes.
Because I don't want to be one of those people. No, just read the Portland Tribune.
I've said it 80 times today. Dennis Pitzenberger, Portland Tribune. What do you want?
I don't know. Just pick it up.
Give you a lap dance? Jesus.
You going to wear that shirt?
Well. Hello, there's a line.
All right. Oh, sorry. Did I go over that again?
My shirt.
It is kind of a sexy shirt.
It is purple and pinstripe. He looks fabulous.
F you guys. All right. All right, hey, the Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, it's Tim Riley, Dennis Pitzenberger. There you go. We're going to thank Ed McCarthy, Jim Roop. See you tomorrow. Don't let the bastards grind you down. See you in 21 hours. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Thanks for listening. See you all tomorrow. Like us next. Bye.
CAC.
I feel so loved. Thank you very much.
Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep is now concluded. Thanks for listening.